This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
Tom, Tyler, and I are here today, and we are talking about keeping Christ in Christmas. We are well into December, and a lot of the Christmas activities are well on their way, and would love to talk about how do we keep Christ central in a season where there is so much vying for our attention, so many activities going on, disruptions to the normal schedule and normal routine. And when we talk about keeping Christ in Christmas, I think it's good to start by asking the question, why should we want to keep Christ in Christmas? Why is that important? Let's start with you, Tyler. Would love to hear your thoughts. When we think about celebrating Christmas, families, young families in our church, why is it important to keep Christ in Christmas?
That's a great question. I think there are so many other things vying for our attention, vying for our affections. As I think of little ones, the idea of presents, the idea of doing fun things with the family, going fun places. It's silly, but there's flashy lights everywhere. Mm-hmm. Every time you go to a store, there are fun things and there's happy music. And there are all of these things that are vying for our affections. Where else should we fix our affections than Christ? Mm-hmm. We were just talking last night in our fellowship group about Colossians 1. And how it is so easy for me when I'm thinking through what is Christmas to think Christ came to die for my sins. And that is a really helpful thing. That is biblical. Mm-hmm. Matthew 1 says that, yep. Right? He will save his people from their sins.
Yeah.
But Christ is about more than saving me from my sins. And Colossians 1, I think, is so helpful in how it directs us to Jesus being above and before and beyond and over, sustaining all things. And he created all things, and all things were created for him. Hmm. When I think about Christmas, it is so easy for me to think, oh, he came for me. Hmm. And that is the pinnacle of Christmas. Well, actually, he came to be worshipped. Mm-hmm. I was born for him. Mm-hmm. I am only here for him, and I need to love him more. I need mm-hmm. to honor him with my days. And this day that actually celebrates some amazing truth that has been promised long, long ago should be about me worshiping him.
Mm-hmm. It's good, Tyler.
That
yeah,
is good.
Christmas is much more than a sentimental event, but it's a theological doctrinal reality that the eternal second person of the triune God took on flesh, became man for our redemption, for his glory. And so thinking mm-hmm. through Christmas and the potential distraction of all the things that you were talking about, the stimulating things, which can be enjoyed in a really wonderful way. But ultimately, it's not about just enjoyment. It's about worship, about yeah. worshiping God in those things. You have anything you'd add, Tom?
No, it's interesting, though. This is a time period where much, whether it be what does your calendar look like, what are all the necessities that need to get taken care of, there's so much that vies for our attention that for all of us, it's easy to lose sight of where you want to be focusing. Mm-hmm. But typically families, they spend a lot more time together and there's just more planning of, and easy to be distracted. And that's where, you know, have to be very intentional about keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, I really appreciate what you said there. When we're thinking about keeping Christmas worshipful, keeping Christ the center and the fact that there are so many disruptions to the routine and additional events and different things to participate in, being self-controlled with what you say yes to is going to be really important for every family. And every family's capacities are different. Their season may be different. The demands on their time may look different. Work schedules for dads or moms may look different. And for some, it may be much less. For some, it may be much more. And so all of those things need to be taken into account and considered. But being willing to say no to good things so that you can maintain a rhythm of schedule and life with where the Lord has you in a way that focuses on Him and on Christ is really important. What are some practical things that you guys think through or consider in caring for your families during this time? Tom, you're in a different season without children in the home, but you have access and get to interact with your children and their children.
Right.
Tyler, you have not little children anymore, but you have younger children than maybe Julie and I do in the home. What are some things that you guys do or think through in this season in celebrating Christmas?
I know one of the traditions when we're together is reading and even talking about the birth of Christ. And what's amazing to me, it is so easy. It's a story that we're all familiar with. I've heard it since I, as much as I can remember, all the way back to childhood. But it is amazing to read through a section like Luke 1 and 2 from the announcement, the foretelling of the birth of Christ, through the birth of Christ, of the number of miraculous things that God did for that birth to happen, and His sovereignty of how it happened. And it's just a wonderful thing, because I think we can just leapfrog over the reality that we just believe this.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully, you know, it's a time of just really reflecting on the truth that we have faith to believe these things.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good discipline regardless of the season. I mean, that's so crucial for the life of the believer, is just fixing. The best remedy for spiritual drift is to renew your mind with spiritual truth and bring your heart to what Scripture actually says and is revealed. Because I do think with all the commercialism of Christmas and Santa and all the different activities and events, and it's easy, not even realizing it, to kind of group what Christ actually did in taking on flesh into those types of things, and it's completely distinct. It's real. It happened. It took place. It's significant. Has eternal ramifications. Our very salvation is based, as Tyler was talking about, on the fact that Christ took on flesh and was born so that He could go to the cross to save His people from their sins, so that God would be glorified. So that's excellent. How about you, Tyler?
Yeah, a couple things. I have been thinking through personal responsibilities and weights, and how I can make it so that my family doesn't feel those things.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom, I heard you say the other day, too, man, I just want to be available for family. What would be a blessing to you guys? And we just want to be available for that. And I've been thinking about that sort of thing in my own home. There, different seasons come with different responsibilities, different weights. And there just are those things all the time. For all of our friends, they work might be busy right now or hard right now. And I do just want to be a blessing to my family, and my children don't need to bear every weight of every season that I'm walking through right now. And I can trust the Lord with those things. And I can think about, how do I give of myself, to honor my kids, to honor my wife.
Tali, that is so practical and convicting on so many levels. And I just, it's right thinking. It's just being intentionally right thinking.
I do think on a, just to piggyback on that, some, at the root of what you're talking about is a disposition of considering others' needs, considering your family over yourself, getting your eyes off of yourself. And I think that's a key discipline around any season where you might be distracted. Christmas especially is a time where our culture, the message oftentimes is fix your eyes on yourself. And what gifts are you going to get? What is that? Have you been a good boy or a bad little girl, a good little boy? And Jesus himself came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. And so when we think about Mark 10:45, that's Jesus' disposition was one of giving. A wonderful way to celebrate Christmas well is to cultivate a heart and an attitude that's eager to give of yourself for others, to care for others, encourage others, serve others. And so where you can enter into Christmas with your, especially your children or your spouse, with that kind of attitude and help cultivate that kind of attitude where you are rejoicing in the opportunity to serve. You're rejoicing in the opportunity to give. And then helping draw those lines about what Jesus has given and the gift of salvation, the gift that Jesus is to the world is a great opportunity. And then just some practical thoughts. Keeping scripture about the incarnation. Just read your Bibles with your family. Mm-hmm. Advent practices, there's lots of resources out there, whether it's daily reading or weekly reading can be helpful. Being intentional with what music you play in the home around Christmas. I don't particularly love commercial Christmas songs, but there are some really good resources through Sovereign Grace, some Christmas albums that really highlight the incarnation of Christ, tie those lines of the incarnation of Christ to the cross of Christ, which are exceptional, and intentional prayer. Pray together. Thank God for the gift of his son. Pray with your family. Encourage your kids to pray. Help them in that can be some practical ways of caring for your family during this time. Anything you guys would add to that?
That's great, Josh. Tyler.
I want to pivot as we wrap up. As wonderful as Christmas is, all of the emphasis on joy, family, celebration, happiness, lightheartedness is very sweet. And yet for some, Christmas can be extremely painful. Maybe your family dynamics are rough right now, and there's conflict in your marriage or conflict with your children or conflict with extended family, and the expectation is everybody gets together and it's a holly jolly time. Maybe you've experienced loss of a family member, loss of a child in the past. I know our sorrows heighten every year at this time of year because so much of Christmas includes little kids and playful things. And so it just kind of pokes on the feeling of loss and what we no longer have in Caleb with us. And so it can also create challenges where there's been loss of parents or just all sorts of things. Maybe you've experienced news this year of chronic illness or something along those lines. How would you guys help someone who's navigating pain in the holiday still keep Christmas worshipful in the midst of that pain?
And I would say often people will tend to isolate when they have pain, and I would say lean in and be with your friends, be with your family, be with your church, and tell others of what's hard in this season, that others are praying for you.
It's good. It's helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, the truth that we talked about at the beginning, and Tom, that you talked about, just remembering what is true about my Lord, is where I would want to run. The Colossians 1 passage, verse 20 says, "And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Hmm. That is the Jesus that no matter what season it is, we are all called things to run to.
Yeah.
And he will reconcile everything to himself. He will make everything right. Hmm. Right now he has purchased our peace, provided peace between the believer and their God. Peace between brother and sister in Christ that is just unnatural. Mm-hmm. And we get to trust him with that, and we get to walk in obedience and seek to honor him as we live with others. Mm-hmm. But he will make all things right. Mm-hmm. And everything will be reconciled to him, and yeah. that is such a comfort for
absolutely
us. I know when I come across a truth like that from Colossians 1, I will stop and ask myself, do you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
And just speak to my own mind, yes, I believe that. God has given me the faith to believe that.
Mm.
So when you see those truths, linger around and ask, do I really believe this?
Yeah,
I do believe it.
Mm. Those are really helpful, guys. Hebrews 4:14 and 15, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Celebrating the incarnation, Christ came to die. He came to give his life a ransom. He did it to glorify the Father. But in his taking on flesh, he also has entered into the sorrows that we experience in this world of sin and death and hardship and trial. And he understands our weakness. He knows our frailty. He can sympathize it. He was tempted in every way. There's nothing we've experienced or been tempted with that he is unfamiliar with, and is eager to enter into those things with you as a comforter, as a help, as a loving Savior, ready to draw near to you as you draw near to him and provide help in time of need. And so I know for us, when those emotions well up where we are acutely aware of what we feel we've lost, renewing our minds with the sufficiency of Christ and the reality of what we've received, which is far more than we've deserved, has been incredibly helpful. And coming back to the gospel, there's just never a lack of something to be thankful for. But I know for us, a huge shift was in our thinking was being able to take thoughts captive and renew our minds that right now I'm feeling the absence of something that I think is better for me. But the reality is that we did not lose something we had a right to. But we were given an incredible gift for 5 years, 9 months, and 20 days, and each one of those was a gift. And so you just have to choose to take thoughts captive and choose to be thankful and choose to rejoice and choose to draw near to the Lord in humble prayer. And I think it's easy in this season, especially when you're experiencing that loss, to look around at everybody else and blame everybody else for how they're not caring for you, how you should be cared for right now. I need you to do this. I need you to be this. I need you to care for me this way. Hmm. And the reality is that Christ gives us everything we need to be able to honor him and not sin in those seasons. And so really the best thing we can do is to look to who Christ is and what he has done and who he calls us to be. And if you focus on those things, it may not bring reprieve from the pain, but it will bring peace. And you can have those things at the same time.
It's a great reminder, Josh. Thank you.
Any final thoughts, input? Okay. Hopefully this was helpful. I know it was even just a blessing and encouragement to my heart And for those who listen, have a wonderful Christmas worshiping our Savior.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.